Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Father, that this morning, Lord, that it would speak into every heart and life. Lord, that the ears of our hearts would be open, that we might truly receive. Lord, that we might truly believe. We might truly obey the word of God. And Father, I just thank you for that, and I'm believing you, Lord, for great change to take place in our life as a result of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The missing key to victory. What we're going to talk about this morning. As a child of God, I think every one of us ought to have a childlike joy and freedom to enjoy this abundant life that Jesus promised us in John 10 and 10. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. He's talking about an overflowing life, the very best kind of life. He also said that unless we become like a little child, we could in no way enter the kingdom. There are some qualities about children that we need to maintain. Amen. Certainly we grow up, we mature, we become responsible adults. But you know, it's a sad thing that as a child of God, sometimes people don't enjoy life. They lose that joy of the Lord. Listen, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so we ought to be the happiest people on earth. We ought to be joy-filled people. Now, I found a lot of the time we can learn some valuable lessons from children out of the mouths of babes, the Bible says. So I'm going to read to you a few stories from some parents, some moms in particular, that learned a lesson from their child. One mom said that on her way home from running errands, she had kind of a hectic day and things didn't really go very well, but she picked up her son, Nate, who had been playing at a friend's house. And while they were talking on the way home, the little boy says, Mom, is Dad going to be home for dinner? And she said, yeah, I think so. And then he said, well, what are we having? She thought for a minute and she said, well, how about mac and cheese? And she heard a big sigh from the back seat and he said, I love my life. Now, for 8-year-old Nate, what it took for him to really enjoy life and love his life was that Dad was going to be home for dinner and they were having mac and cheese. And you know what? For most of us, there are wonderful things in our life. And yet, rather than love our life and really enjoy this abundant life, we focus on the things that are wrong, the things that went wrong during the day and all of the hassles and the problems. So I want to ask you, do you love your life? I tell you, we need to change our perspective sometimes. Sometimes we need a little attitude adjustment. We need to change our focus because we need to be loving our life. Amen. Here's another mom who learned a lesson from her child. She says, when my daughter Jessica was a preschooler, she was learning all about choices. You can have a cookie or you can have a scoop of ice cream, but you can't have both. You can wear the blue sweater or you can wear the green sweater, but you can't wear both. You have to choose. At the same time, she was also learning about emotions. And so she would ask her mom, she would say, is Mama happy? Is Mama sad? Is Mama mad? And one day when her mother was having a really bad day and was yelling a lot, the little girl said, is Mama mad? Mama thought quickly and she said, no, Mama's not mad anymore. Mama's happy. The little girl said, Mama picked happy. What do you pick? You see, you can be mad or sad or glad. It's up to you. That little girl, she had a hold on the truth that some of us wise, mature believers need to get a hold of. You can just decide whether you're going to be upset, mad all the time, or if you're going to be happy. So that mom learned a lesson from her little girl. One more. This mom says, when my daughter Deanna was 5, she skipped everywhere. Didn't matter what the occasion, holidays, parties, going to the store, she just skipped. I asked her why one day. She said that skipping made her happy. She says, you can't be mad and be skipping. Listen, some of us need to do a little more skipping. Amen. You can't be mad and be skipping. When's the last time you skipped? It's been way too long. See, we need to do a little skipping. We need to enjoy life. We need to get our attitude right and realize all of the blessings of the Lord and all the wonderful things that God has put in our life, simple things. I remember when Leslie was just 2 or 3 years old, we went to my grandmother's house out in East Texas, and the pine trees are, you know, 60 foot tall or so, and we were out in the yard, and she was looking up at the trees blowing in the wind, and they were just swaying in the wind, and she just began to laugh. It was just funny to her. In the mind of a little bitty toddler, it was just funny to her how the trees would blow back and forth in the wind. Well, listen, you know what? We need to learn to enjoy life like that. We need to see all of the greatness of God and all of the blessings of the Lord all around us every day. Not just in the things of nature and creation, but in our children, our loved ones. Amen. And all of the works of the Lord, the things that God is doing in our world today. But I tell you, we've got some things we need to be rejoicing about. We should be happy. We ought to be excited. We ought to be giving God thanks. We ought to be praising Him all the time. We need to enjoy this abundant life that our Father has for us. Now, I'm not talking about fake smiles and fake happiness. I know that every one of us goes through problems and difficulties. We all have struggles. In fact, we go through heartache. We go through hurts of all kinds. But what I am saying is that we need to keep our focus on the Lord. And even in the midst of those trying times, that we give God thanks and we praise Him. We have problems, we have difficulties, we have battles to fight. In fact, I've been preaching it. We have to fight the good fight of faith. So how can we be a soldier for Jesus Christ and fight the good fight of faith and yet have joy and enjoy life and have that abundant life Jesus wants us to have? Well, because we win. That's how we can have that joy in spite of the circumstances and in spite of the battle that we're in. It's because we know that we win. In John 16 and 33, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Everybody say amen. In fact, King James says tribulation. Now, some people are believing for it. I mean, we're in that tribulation right now. We're having trouble. But that's not the end of the verse. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Every time somebody starts talking about trouble or tribulation, we need to say, be of good cheer. Amen. Why? Because He has already overcome the world. We sang that this morning too, didn't we? That He has overcome. Listen, we overcome too. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So we overcome. We know that we win. So in spite of the difficulties and the problems and the battle that's before us, we can have joy in our heart. We can have that lightness of heart because we know we win. Yes. Now tell your neighbor, don't be a grump. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to hear the first part of that verse again. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. See, we've been promised victory, so why should we be upset and be stressed out when He's already promised us victory? We have to believe and obey God. That's our job. That's our responsibility, is that we believe and we obey God. But the battle is ultimately the Lord's. It is God who gives us the victory. It is God who leads us in triumph. Amen. Amen. Our job is to believe and obey Him. And when we give Him thanks and we praise Him, I tell you, it puts us over the top. Not just emotionally, but spiritually, it puts us over. See, when we remember that it's the battle is the Lord's, then we can give Him thanks and praise and enjoy that abundant life He's given us. And we all have the opportunity in our fight of faith to get battle weary. We can become weary in well-doing and we'll miss out on that victory. But if we will give God thanks and praise Him and not give up, we'll see victory. We will reap a harvest. We will see the Lord bring us through to victory. Nehemiah 8 and 10, I want to remind you. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, if the devil can get you all upset, if he can get you where you're not picking happy anymore, see, and you lose your joy, then you also lose your strength. And the end result of that is you will not be strong in the Lord and ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might so that you'll be ready to stand against all the wiles of the devil. You can't be strong in the Lord if you lose your joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we'll give Him thanks and praise, our victory will come. But if we allow ourselves to gripe, grumble, and complain, we will end up with what we have spoken out of our mouths. I'm going to show it to you in the Scripture today. If we gripe and grumble and complain, we will end up with exactly what we have spoken out of our mouths. We will seal our fate for defeat. Here's the missing key for victory. That we give God thanks, that we praise Him. In the midst of the battle, in the midst of the difficulties, that we continue to give Him thanks and to praise Him. Listen, we all have troubles, and those troubles can weigh us down. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. The NIV says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. It'll weigh you down. If you're upset all the time and troubled about all the things going on in the world and in your life, it can weigh you down. In fact, you know, when we are anxious and stressed out, it usually doesn't just weigh us down. It begins to weigh down our loved ones and those that are close to us as well. But it'll weigh you down. It'll get you down where you don't have that joy of the Lord anymore as your strength. And the pressures of life will cause you to lose your joy and your strength to fight the fight of faith. So here's the answer. It's in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I want you to hear those words. It's not just prayer, but it's prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, you can get down and pray and pray and pray, but if you don't pray with thanksgiving, you're going to get up still just as stressed out as before you started. You got to pray with thanksgiving. You got to pray believing that God really is going to take care of it. You got to thank Him for it. You got to give Him thanks. In the midst of your prayer, in the midst of your difficulty, your battle, you got to praise Him and give Him thanks. We can't allow our prayer to turn into us telling God all that is wrong with our life and what He needs to do to please us. Well, just think about it for a minute. We can't allow ourselves to tell God how unhappy we are with this situation and that one and what He needs to do so that I can be happy. Now, come on, guys. I know you're not going to raise your hand, but listen, how many of you husbands, if your wife, don't raise your hand, all right? I'm helping you out here, all right? If your wife keeps telling you over and over and over every day what you need to do in order for her to be happy, What you need to change, because the way things, she's not happy with the way you are, the way things are, and what you need to do different so that she can finally be happy. What's that? How does that go? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Listen, and that is exactly how a lot of people do the Lord. And what do we call that, guys? We call it complaining. And worse yet, we call it nagging. What is it when we do that to the Lord? Now, Lord, you know this situation. If you would just do this, if you'd just fix that, then I could finally be happy and I'd have something to thank you for, at least for today, until tomorrow start all over again. I'll tell you, we got to be careful that our prayer doesn't sound like complaining, but rather we are giving God thanks and we're praising Him. See, we're living in a day, a generation of complainers. Very few are really grateful for the blessings of God in their life. We can't allow ourselves to be complainers. Come on, church, I'm talking to Christians this morning. I'm talking to believers. We can't allow ourselves to be complainers and gripers. We're supposed to be grateful in everything that we give thanks. The Lord hates complaining. If you complain and you don't stop, it will seal your fate for defeat. The Lord will give you exactly what you have spoken out of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says there's power of life and death in the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. But I'm telling you, if you complain and you grumble and you gripe, the Lord will give you, now listen, if you don't stop, the Lord will give you exactly what you have spoken out of your mouth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you're going to read verses 6 through 11. And this morning, I'm going to share several passages of Scripture with you, and I just encourage you to follow along with me and stick with me, because I don't believe that the Word of man really changes a heart and life. But I do believe that the Word of God does. And so this morning, I want you to see in the Scripture what God says about this, because I believe that this word will change your attitude. I'm telling you, it's doing a work in me already. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your outlook. And some of us need a little attitude adjustment. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 through 11, it says, "Now these things became our examples." It's talking about those stories in the Old Testament that happened to the children of Israel. "To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Here's this list of terrible sins and the judgments of God that came on them. And in the midst of idolatry and sexual immorality, he says complainers who were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, do we believe that complaining is just as much sin as idolatry and adultery? Church, if we do, then we need to do some changing in our behavior. But I'm telling you, in the Scripture, God judged them for their complaining. The destroyer, what did it say? Destroyed them. Well, we're going to read about a little bit of that in just a minute. But first, I want to give you a definition of the word complain. In the dictionary, it says, "Complain means to express grief, pain, or discontent." We all understand that. It's, you know, we complain, we're verbalizing our pain, our discontent, our dissatisfaction with life. But the second definition of complain is to make a formal accusation or charge. And you know, in a very real sense, that is exactly what we do as a child of God. When we complain, we are telling our Heavenly Father that He's not doing a good job. When we complain, we're letting Him know that we are displeased with our lot in life. We're displeased with the level of blessings we have. We're displeased with His provision. We're displeased with the situation that He has given to us. And it is as though we are making an accusation against God that He's not doing a good job in my life. Sure, it's quiet in here. But let's look at these stories about the children of Israel complaining. We'll start with Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 16. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 16. And while you're turning there, let me just kind of bring you up to this point. The children of Israel have been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years under cruel bondage, doing hard labor, working for somebody else to be rich and enjoy it. For 400 years, they were mistreated. And now, God has gloriously delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. You would think that they would be absolutely ecstatic, praising God, giving Him thanks no matter what they encounter. You would think that they would be praising God and giving Him thanks, much like you would think that a child of God today that's born again and knows their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life would be praising God and giving God thanks no matter what they're facing. But they didn't. And sometimes we don't. Well, let's read about it. So Pharaoh and his army are pursuing them. When Pharaoh drew near the children of Israel, they lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians march after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Die in the wilderness. We're going to die in the wilderness. They keep saying it over and over. Listen. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Listen, he told them, the Lord will fight for you. And there it is. You see, if we'll give God praise and give Him thanks, it is ultimately God's battle, and He will fight for us. We don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to be all anxious and beaten down with life, because it's the Lord that fights for us. It's God who gives us the victory. Now, what else did he say there? He said, "And you shall hold your peace." Now, he said it nice. You know what he was saying? He was saying, "Shut up. Stop that complaining. Don't quit talking like that. We're going to die in the wilderness. Don't talk like that anymore. Hold your peace." We need to hear it, church. And listen to what the Lord said to Moses in the next verse. "Why do you cry to me? Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Stop crying and just obey. Go forward." They complained and they complained and they complained. Numbers 11 verse 1 tells us, "Now the people..." In fact, I'm going to read this one from the NIV. I like the way it's worded here. "The people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord." When is it not in the hearing of the Lord? He always hears. Every time you grumble, every time you mutter under your breath even, God hears it. "They complained in the hearing of the Lord about their hardships. And when He heard them, His anger was aroused." The Lord doesn't like complaining. It arouses His anger. They complained. They didn't have food. So God provided them food. They complained then. Now listen. First they complained because they didn't have food. Then they complained because they wanted new food. They wanted different food. Complain and complain. "I need a car. I don't have a car." They get a car. "This is great. Praise the Lord." Until you see the car that your neighbor has. You pull into the store parking lot, and there's a BMW and an Acura, and there's a Mercedes. Why am I driving this piece of junk? And begin to complain. And they complain. And the children of Israel, God blessed them. He took care of them. He miraculously fed them every day. And yet they complained. They wanted something different. Numbers 11, 18 through 20. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Are you kidding me? 400 years in bondage. And now they're saying it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? Now I want you to hear this. First of all, the Lord says, all right, you're going to get what you wanted. You're going to have it until it comes out your nose. Have you ever been so sick throwing up that it came out your nose? They were going to eat that meat, the Lord says, until it comes out your nose and you will hate it. And I'll tell you, sometimes the things that we complain about, the things we complain for, it's going to be loathsome to us. How much better it is to just give God thanks and to praise Him and enjoy the provision and the blessing of the Lord. But I want you to notice also that the Lord said to them, because you have despised the Lord who is among you. You see, the Lord takes it very personal. When we as a child of God complain, He takes it very personal that it is an accusation against Him as our provider and our healer, as our deliverer, as our Heavenly Father who takes care of us. And I'm telling you this morning that eventually complaining can cost you your victory. Because of their negative complaining attitude, listen, eventually it cost them going into the promised land. You see, that attitude of being negative and complaining all the time undermines your faith. You can't be talking trash and garbage and complaining and griping and at the same time be praying and really believe in God. It doesn't work. No, if you're going to pray and believe God with thanksgiving, then you can't turn right around and start griping about it and telling everybody how bad it is. No, they undermined their faith by their negative attitude and their constant complaining. When they come to the promised land, Numbers 14, we're going to begin with verse 1 and 2. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. It would have been better if we all just died. You know, when people get to complaining, they get just like that. It gets to where it's not even rational or reasonable anymore. Just griping and complaining. Well, here's the end result. We'll read 26 through 29, Numbers 14, 26 through 29. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. He says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing. Again, when is it not in His hearing? He hears when we complain. And He says, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. These things are written for our admonition, as examples for us. And I'm telling you that if we live a lifestyle of complaining and being negative and griping, as we have spoken in the hearing of the Lord, he says, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. Well, he spared the children and youth. The rest of them, he held them all accountable for what they said out of their mouths. He said, so will I do to you what you have spoken. And what did they say? It would have been better if we died in this wilderness. In fact, he told Moses earlier, he said, you just brought us out here to die in this wilderness. They kept saying it. And there came a day when the Lord said, as you have spoken out of your mouth, so will I do to you. I tell you, church, we're living in a time right now in our country, economically, people need to be careful what they're saying out of their mouth. Amen. Because as you say out of your mouth, if you don't repent, he says, as you've spoken out of your mouth, so will I do to you. Most people spend much more time, way more time, complaining about high taxes and all of the problems in our country, all of the immorality, all of the terrible things in this country, than they do giving God thanks for living in the greatest country in the world. Listen, but for the grace of God, we could have been born in a third world country where we didn't hear the gospel and didn't even have food to eat. But by the grace of God, we are so blessed to live in a country where we have so much freedom and religious freedom. Listen, so much religious freedom, so much prosperity, so much light of the gospel. We should be giving God thanks every day, not getting caught up in all of the griping and complaining and criticizing everything. Now, I'm not saying that we should just accept immorality in our country. We should pray and believe that God will heal our land. But nowhere in the Bible does it say to complain and to gripe to your neighbor. I'm telling you, there are a lot of believers right now prophesying that it's only going to get worse. It's just going to go from worse to worse to worse. God forbid that he should give us what we are speaking. I tell you, we need to give God thanks and give him praise. You want to see the battle turned? Here is the missing key. Here is where so many of us are missing. We're praying, we're asking God, we're trying. We need to begin to give God thanks. We need to thank him for the victory and give him praise because it's him who's going to turn it. Yes, amen. It's amazing to me. People are praying for our country. And then out of the other side of their mouth, they're telling everybody, oh, it's just going to get worse. You know, things. The whole country's just going to hell. Is he going to answer your prayer or is he going to judge you by the words of your mouth? People grumble about their spouse instead of thanking God for the good qualities. They complain about their boss or their job instead of thanking God for their boss. Thanking God that they have a boss. Come on now. Thanking God that they have a job. Well, what's good about 10% unemployment? I'll tell you one thing good about it. A lot of people are realizing right now that it's a blessing to have a job, that you should be thankful just to have a job. We've gotten so caught up into this gripe and complain mode, it's never enough. It's not enough just to have a job and to have our needs met. We like to gripe and complain about everything. I tell you, you need to thank God for your boss. Thank God for your job. Begin to praise the Lord. It may not be perfect. It may not be what you want. But let me tell you, the fastest way to get something better is for you to not complain in the hearing of the Lord, but to give God thanks and give him praise for what he has blessed you with, because then he'll lead you on in victory. See, if we really do trust the Lord that he'll fight for us, that he'll provide for us, that he'll heal us, that he'll bring us through to victory, then we will always be giving him thanks and praising him. 2 Corinthians 2:14, again, now thanks be to God. Hear it again. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. You see, Paul never left off the thanks. He said, thanks be to God. You can't separate the thanks from your triumph. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. But don't forget the thanks. You see, it's that attitude of the heart that knows that He gives us the victory, so it's thanks be to God. I tell you, we ought to always be giving thanks, and we ought to always be singing. You know, singing's kind of like skipping. If you got a song in your heart for the Lord, you just can't stay mad. You just can't stay upset. You can't stay down if you're singing a melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again, always giving thanks. Not just when everything falls into place for you, not just when it's all good, but always for all things, giving God thanks. Singing, making melody in your heart for the Lord. I tell you, if we just learned to do that, it would help us to keep the joy of the Lord and be strong. And we'd see our battles turn into victories a lot faster. The missing key to victory. Alexander White was a Scottish preacher. He always began his prayers with an expression of gratitude. And one really, really bitter, cold, miserable day, the people wondered how he would begin his prayer. And he said, "We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this." But there's always some way you can thank the Lord. You can give God thanks in everything. You know, this is just a silly little thing, but as I was driving in this morning, coming down Wilshire, there's no cars anywhere around, no traffic, and the light turns red. I had my message on my heart. I said, "Lord, I'm thankful that the lights are working this morning." Is it just more fun to get grumpy and upset over silly little things? Which one do you pick? Oh, we need to choose to be thankful and just praise God. He'll bring us through to victory. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, not just when it's good, not just when you feel like it. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's God's will for you to give Him thanks in everything. No matter what the situation, you keep that grateful heart, because I tell you, it opens the doors for the blessings of God. It puts you over, not just emotionally, but spiritually, it puts you over into victory. Philippians 4:4, from a prison cell, the Apostle Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now everybody wants to talk about, well, the Lord said He gave me the desires of my heart. What we need to focus on is our part. Listen, God always does His part. We got to do our part. What is that? Delight yourself in the Lord. That is not somebody that's complaining and griping about their lot in life. Delighting yourself in the Lord is to be rejoicing in Him and praising Him and loving Him. Yes. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually be in my mouth. Praising Him all the time. Blessing the Lord. Praising Him all the time. Continually. You see, that kind of person who has that attitude, that mentality, I'm telling you, God's going to lead them into victory after victory. They're going to have battles and struggles and difficulties, but God's going to put them over because they praise Him and give Him thanks. That's an attitude of faith and trust that God will always put you over the top to victory. Like King Jehoshaphat. from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There was a vast army that came against the children of Israel. Jehoshaphat and the people, they prayed. You got to pray. Let me read to you just a few sentences from that prayer. From verse 6, it says, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. You see, he realized he was talking to an almighty God who could do anything. Verse 12, he says, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He didn't say our eyes are fixed on this vast army. No, our eyes are upon you. And you know what? In your life, you're going to face some things that are insurmountable, some mountains, some problems, some issues that there's no way that you can deal with in the natural. But God can. And you got to get your eyes on God. The Lord sent him a word that he was going to deliver them, that the battle was his. And after Jehoshaphat consulted with the people in verse 21 of that chapter, it says that they got together a worship team. And they sent the worship team out towards the battle. Here comes the worship team in the front. And the Lord ambushed the enemy. In fact, he caused the enemy to rise up against one another, and they killed each other until they were all gone. And the most difficult part for the children of Israel is that it took them 3 days to haul off all of the spoils of the enemy. That's victory. And how did it come? It came as they praised God. It was God who fought that battle for them. And their battle was turned, their battle was won as they praised the Lord. I tell you, church, He gives us the victory. And certainly we have to pray, we have to believe and obey God. But many times we miss it in this point that we don't give God thanks for the victory and we don't praise Him. See, when trouble and difficulty comes, most people just automatically go into complain mode. That's the very time that we need to go into praise mode. We're supposed to praise Him always and be given thanks in everything. But when difficulty and problems, when you realize you're in the middle of a battle, that needs to be your cue. Man, I need to give God thanks. I need to begin to praise the Lord. When you complain, it undermines your faith. When you complain, you begin a downhill slide. Listen to me. It is as though you have already accepted defeat. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. They had already accepted defeat. And so they complained. And when we complain and say, well, this is the way it is, we are accepting defeat. In the same way, when we praise God and we give Him thanks, it is an expression of faith that we expect victory. Amen. When you start praising Him, I'm telling you, you have stepped over the line into the victory zone. We have to choose to focus on the Lord and on His Word instead of the problems and the battle. We have to keep ourselves built up in faith through the Word of God. Now I want to tell you something else. We need to be encouraging one another. The Bible says encourage one another daily while it is still today. It's talking about in this end time. We need to be encouraging each other all the time. And it is such a devastating thing the way that complaining and being negative spreads. If you had a contagious disease, something that was very dangerous and harmful, the last thing you would want to do would be to spread that to your loved ones and your friends. I'm telling you, complaining is a contagious disease of the soul. And it spreads so easily. When you gripe and you complain, it gets off on those loved ones around you. And they begin to look at life in a negative way instead of seeing the blessings of God. Instead, we need to be encouraging one another and lifting each other up. Back to Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. It weighs him down. But a good word makes him glad. If you see somebody that's grumpy, give them a good word. If you see somebody that's down and depressed, give them a good word. If you see somebody that's going through a test, a trial, a battle, give them a good word. It'll make their heart glad. And I want to tell you this morning, if nobody's given you a good word, here's where you can always find a good word. If you're in a battle, if you're being stressed, then if you'll go to the Word of God, you can always find a word that will make you glad. Anxiety weighs a man down, but a good word makes his heart glad. Psalms 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How often the Lord said, they complained in my hearing. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in His sight. The meditation of our heart. You see, that's so important, because if you're focused on all the negatives and all the bad things, you're going to be a complainer. But if you focus on the blessings of God and all the simple, good, wonderful things that God has put in our life, things that we take for granted, oh, then it becomes natural to give God thanks and to rejoice in Him. And when you are faced with a great battle in life, in the darkest hour, that is the time, most more than any other time, that you need to rise up in thanksgiving and praise that God is your deliverer, that He is the one who gives you the victory through your Lord Jesus Christ. My words, the meditation of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight. You see, the Bible tells us in James 1:26 that any man who seems to be religious, any man who thinks he's a religious person but doesn't bridle his tongue, it says this man deceives his own heart and his religion is worthless. When we go off and we just begin to gripe and complain and we murmur and grumble about this, and I don't like that, and our religion is worthless. I'm just telling you what the Bible says this morning. I know this is weird stuff. I know this stuff isn't what society thinks. They think that words don't matter. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. James 1:26, if you think that what you say doesn't matter, you've deceived your own heart. And the Bible says your religion is worthless. Any man who seems to be religious among you and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And you see, what I'm saying to you this morning is you need to put the brakes on it. Don't allow those words of complaining and griping to come out of your mouth. It's not going to make you feel better. It's just going to weigh you down even more. Do not speak those negative words out of your mouth, but instead begin to give God thanks. Begin to find something to be thankful for. Get your focus on the Lord. Praise Him and thank Him for the promises. Praise Him and thank Him for the victory that's coming. But don't allow yourself to focus on the negatives and begin to gripe and to complain. Pray with thanksgiving. In everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore. Let praise continually be on your lips. Amen. That's the missing key to victory, church.